Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, welcome to the Neil Baker Psychic Hour. I'm Kristen, and I'm here with psychic and author Neil Baker. Good morning, Neil.
Good morning.
So here we are again today, continuing our discussion on our spirit guides and how our individual spirit guides, our personal spirit guides, which we each have one of assigned to us throughout our birth journeys, help us throughout those earth journeys and actually lead us to our ultimate transcendence on the planet. But first of all, Neil, I want to encourage everybody to call in today. That would be the first thing, 914-338-0164. That's our call-in number for listener readings. We do get to our callers at about quarter after or 20 minutes after the hour. So we're looking forward to hearing from you today on that number again, 914-338-0164. To follow our radio shows, you may join us right here on Blog Talk Radio by clicking on the follow button under the Neil Baker Psychic Hour, and there's also the Neil Baker Psychic fan page as well as our page, Neil Kristen Baker, which can be found via the fan page. There's also a Twitter account that we use. I'm still on Twitter. I'm not a great social media person, so I do what I can on those networks, but marketing is not my strength. So if anyone can provide tips for me how to use Twitter, as I said, I'm still figuring it out. 562-596-7818 is Neil's direct number. Before we move into our topic today, Neil, you know I do a lot of posting of our shows in groups. It's interesting, we got a comment that I just wanted to read. You know, because I post the show and then I do tags for people that are interested in the show, and two of my tags were Karma and Transcendence, which obviously is going to be a part of this discussion. And someone commented, someone named Yolanda, all about karma is good and fine, but nothing is ever cut and dried. Clairvoyance is not specific. We are the children of the Anunnaki in total denial. Free will defines the individual. Kind of an interesting comment. Do you have any thoughts?
Well, I think that in the pool of consciousness, all thoughts are valid. And, you know, it sounds like a cop-out response, but, I mean, you know, everybody has a sense of their own reality in terms of not only their experience on the earth, but as their experiences that they gathered on the cosmic and astral level, and from other past lives, you know, and I'm not here to tell, you know, what people have gathered. The astral realm is so wide and diverse that it's impossible to know every nick and corner and crevice of it. Our world is so diverse. There's such duality on our planet that truths can lie in something bright and illuminated as much as dark and forbidden. I'm not saying that this person's comments are dark and forbidden by any means. This is the energy of their journeys that they've gone through. This is their premise. And that's, you know, I mean, can you say about it? It's their premise. It's as much as any premise that we have on the planet. We occupy a thought, whether it's spirituality, religion, politics, you know, evolution, creation. There, it, I mean, what can one say? It's the experience of living on the planet on the conscious level, having absorbed our journeys from all past lives and all cosmic journeys. So I don't know if that answers it, but, you know, some of us subscribe to certain tribes and sects, S-E-C-T-S, and philosophies, religions, atheism for that matter, you know?
Right. I mean, I think, you know, statements that free will defines as an individual, I actually do agree with that. But I'm just wondering if our karma and transcendent tag was misinterpreted as that people have fixed destinies, which is not what we're sitting on this show at all. I mean, of course, free will.
No, I do numerous readings, and we're in always constant mode of working, and free will is definitely an integral part of our thinking process. In fact, I'm an advocate of free will. I'm more an advocate of free will than I am of destiny. I believe strongly in the free will and in our choices, and that's what I think makes life creative. So I don't know if this person was misconstruing
what we were saying.
Yeah.
I haven't commented back yet, but, you know, I can ask. Now, as far as being children of the Anunnaki, I mean, certainly many of us are, our origin is from other planets, but, you know, I don't think that is also cut and dried, as she says. Not everybody originate, you know, an alien life form that is on the planet Earth. So, I mean, it is diverse. The Earth is diverse.
Yeah.
There's not one specific philosophy that, you know, defines or captures.
I'm a firm believer in alien thought and alien intelligence and existences. But, you know, I mean, it's not uniform across the board by any.
You know what I'm going to do, Neil? I'm going to bring this caller on that we have right now, and then we're going to go back to our topic, which we haven't even gotten to today, but I want to take them because I'm wondering if they might have something. They may want a reading or they may want to comment on what we're saying. So if they're making a comment on what we're talking about now, it's a good time to take them. 563, are you there? Hello? 563?
Okay.
Let's see. Let me try to bring him on once more. Are you there, 563? Can you hear us? No, apparently not. Okay, I'm going to knock them off, and maybe they'll call back in. If they could hear me, I just knocked you off. Call back in if you'd like to speak with us. Okay, so today, again, back to our original premise here, we're talking about spirit guides. And how we are assigned spirit guides. I mean, how does that occur in the astral realm, Neil? And if, this is an odd question, at the beginning of time, each human being has a spirit guide, correct? We're each assigned a spirit guide?
More or less, that's a safe comment.
And often the spirit guides that were assigned had previous incarnations as human beings.
In most instances, they have, but there are exceptions.
Okay, so at the beginning of time, when human life was first created, how were those humans assigned a guide that has been a human before, if there were no humans before, the first humans? You know what I mean?
Well, you know, it's the chicken and the egg.
Right.
We're getting into the aspect that we manifest as human beings, but our energies originated before we were energies as human beings. We have to remember the human form is just a sort of sidetrack of the spirit form. The spirit and the soul in biblically speaking, God created man from dust and then breathed into him its spirit and soul. So what was man before he was a spirit or a soul? Was he he was just a living form? I mean, he was a tree stump. He was just sitting there like a zombie. and then God breathed into him a living soul and a spirit. So then that is, that means to say is, what is a human being apart from a spirit and a soul? We all have a spirit and a soul. So what is a human being? If God had not breathed into the nostrils of Adam, according to biblical passage, a spirit and a soul, and gave him life in that regard, what was Adam but an animal? And that's not to say that animals don't have spirits and souls.
They just don't have an awareness of God, which...
Well, who knows?
I mean,
who are we to judge? I mean, there's limited narration in that text, and for all we know, you know, who knows? Who really knows? I have my own personal belief about spirits and souls and animals, but we're not here to discuss a spirit-soul animal state. We're here to discuss human beings, at the, for the moment at least. And so what is the idea that pre-God's breath or pre-spiritual breath, what was a human being but just something built out of dust, the dust of the earth, and created out of the earth? That means that there's a birth of the earth and there's a birth of the spirit. Now, those two equations are sometimes at war with one another. And if we live only according to the earth, which can have spirit in it, that's a little bit different than living according to the spirit of another dimension. We can actually have a spiritual dimension within the earth because we can absorb within the planet of the earth, the heavens, the cosmos, the universe, and conceive of earthly origin with those concepts in mind. But on the other hand, what is beyond the ultimate universe? What is beyond the ultimate universe in our concept? The ultra universes, so to speak. I mean, we could talk about that, but no matter how deep we go, Carl Sagan-wise, into the realm of the cosmos, have we found heaven? Have we found that spiritual state that is a pure energy? Is it that we go light years and light years and light years beyond us and finally find the planet of pure energy? Or is it in a whole different dimension other than a physical bodily form or a mass of a rock or something like that that has life originating on it? We have to talk about the different parallel universes. And then beyond that, we have to talk about the concept of energy apart from human consciousness. I think the ultimate definition of energy is beyond any comprehensible equation. I don't think we can comprehend it. We can comprehend to some extent infinity, but beyond infinity, if that concept can be conceptualized, what is beyond infinity? What is beyond even the measurement of measureless time? And there we have to talk about the origin behind the curtain of what really is deemed as existence.
Right. So, you know, regarding human existence, many of us, are you saying, Neil, we're born of the earth. We're born of the earth.
Yeah.
Correct?
We're born in the earth.
We're born in the earth.
In the physical concept.
In the physical concept. So we're assuming that there's an element of karma that brought us into the earth because the earth is a karmic plane.
Yeah.
Okay. So where did that karma come from? I mean, where everybody, we know that everybody has a different consciousness or origin. Not everybody comes from the same place. But if we're born of the earth and our origin isn't from another planet, where did that karma come from?
Well, you have to get into the idea that in some respect, our guides, we receive our guides as though as in the terminology of angels, guardians, and some of us even use the term ascended masters. Now, ascended masters
like
means
Archangel Michael, but Jesus.
Some of that higher spiritual plane, Krishna, Jesus, Buddha.
I guess the ascended masters aren't the archangels because those are
angels,
people. The ascended masters are people that were on the earth and that are now masters of the spiritual realm.
Those would be ascended masters. And most of the ascended masters have led a physical life. and they've moved on to a higher spiritual plane. Now, they are here moving around us out of an extreme element of love, compassion, understanding, and knowledge, knowingness. Now, that element means that we have come from that too, and we're returning home. Because we all have ascended and descended in time and space. We all have. Our souls are eternal, and our spirits are eternal. And our spirits have moved up and down, in and out, throughout the existences. So we have all touched upon some higher realm of existence. All of us. All of us have. As soon as we have the breath of God within us, we have the knowledge of other realms and other energies. So why have we come back here? Why have we been reborn into the earth? Because we're learning lessons down here. We're getting prepared to return to a place where we came from. Christ said, I don't belong to this earth. This is not my home. I was born here. I walk here. I live here. I eat here. I have a family here. But I'm not of this earth. I'm not of this earth. So what does that really mean? To live in the earth and not be of the earth. We all are living in the earth, and we all are not of the earth. We come from another space and time, all of us. Now, whether you want to believe that we're the seed of aliens, or we're the breath of God from the heavenly kingdom coming down in human form to work out our world, life is a lesson. Life is a lesson, life is a blessing, and life is knowledge, and life is love and pain.
But if our life was blown into us from a higher realm, why are we on the earth plane? I mean, if we are from a higher realm, how did we fall to the earth? I'm excluding the idea of aliens.
Because it's the fall of knowledge. Mm-hmm. Knowledge is not something we just get to keep and contain, and it's just there. Knowledge is like a garden. We nurture it, we cultivate it. And knowledge can also bring us pain. Knowledge can give us the awareness of being in a dualistic state. Knowledge can lead us into darkness. And that duality I didn't create. I didn't create that duality. I leave that up to God. I'm only trying to, in my best mind, explain my experiences as a psychic, as an intuitive, as a person that has spoken to other energies, what I've gathered from those experiences. And what I've gathered from those experiences that we have all of us has fallen from some grace. Now, there are exceptional human beings on the planet that are here gracing the planet with just pure knowledge. But all of us live in some form of duality. All of us live in some form of what would be deemed the flesh. Some people may argue with me and say there are walking angels on the planet, and I wouldn't argue, I really wouldn't argue with that.
Well,
I think there are walking angels on the planet. In other words, angels that walk the planet.
You mean angels that walk the planet, but we're not talking about angels in a human form.
No,
I mean, not in a real physical body.
Not in a human form. An angel's not a human.
Angels aren't a human.
No, but they walk the planet. Angels that walk the planet mean that there are angelic forms that actually walk on this planet.
Now, some of us are fallen angels that fell from grace, and that's why we're on the planet.
Mm-hmm.
That's not to say that those individuals, the fallen angels, are actual angels. They're in the world of karma, the fallen angels.
Yeah.
The angels that walk the planet are spirit forms, not human forms.
Yeah, it's interesting because some of us humans have been reduced into a unit whereby we have been in an angelic form. And that's not the same as being an angel. There are actually fallen angels that are in human form. They are human. They are human beings having descended from a fallen angel state, and they've been converted into human form. There are those energies, and it gets a little bit complicated and somewhat convoluted when you're conceptualizing the content of an existence, because we all have a little bit of energy in us. We all have a little bit of animal in us.
Right.
We have a little bit of everything in us. We're made of cosmic dust, but we come from the same dust essentially that animals were created by. And so you have to broaden your brain and get out of your box and start to look at existence in that order. Now, when you do that, what you do is you get out of your brain and you start to miraculously listen to your guide. Your guide is here to guide you. He's not here to control you. That's why they're not called controllers. They're not called masters to the extent that there's master and slave. They're guides. They guide us. They lead us. And this brings up the free will. Because if there's no free will, why guide? You're just a robot. You're not being guided. You're just being led or you're being controlled. Guiding implies free will. Guiding implies learning. And the way that whether we're doing it through meditation or lucid dreaming or we're requesting it in a deep sanctuary, we go to a sacred spot on the earth, the way that we connect to our guides is innumerable. It's just numberless ways to do it. And some of us do it from an early age. Some of us have to wait for a karmic stage to be completed. But that journey whereby we start to listen to our specific guide, not to mention the subplots around us, the other guides that come in and help us out like elephants, like a whole group of them. They're all somewhat nursemaids to that extent. But we all are individuals, and that's what the beauty of this design is. And connecting to our guides, like I said, in brief form, dreaming, meditation, going to a sacred spot, dialoguing, working with a human guide that might help us find our guide. These are different ways that we connect. And then the way we absorb that energy and knowledge, cosmic consciousness of our existence.
Okay, Neil, let's move into our callers. And if we have time today, we're going to get back to it because I have some comments to make and some questions as well. So. But we wanted to take our callers that are waiting. So 563 is our first today. Are you there? 563. Another 563, different 563, not coming on. They dropped. I wonder if there's problems with the phone lines. Let's bring on this caller. Hi, are you there?
Someone's not connecting. Are they hearing us?
Well, I would imagine.
Do they make comments on that?
No.
So people are not being able to get through.
No, that's what's happening. People cannot hear us, obviously.
They can't hear us speak?
No, they can hear. I mean, I'm assuming they can hear us, but I don't know what's going on exactly. Let me try to bring this caller on again. Are you there, private caller? No, I think there's a problem on Blog Talk Radio today because there's no mute on our end. Are you there, caller? Hello?
Yes, hi, I'm here.
Oh, good. We have someone that's there. Are you having any problem hearing us?
No, I can hear you fine on the phone and on the radio, on the computer. You were just a little lower than I had expected.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah, I had the volume all up, but...
But we are being heard, so it's interesting. Maybe some people are having problems with their phones. What's your name?
My name's Annette.
Annette, hi, Annette. How are you?
Hi. Good.
Good. What's your location and birth date, please?
I live on Long Island, New York.
And your birth date?
5/28/63. You just kept saying 5/63 was the caller, so I was wondering if that had something to do with me.
So that's really weird, though. That's interesting. Mm-hmm. Did you hear what she said? It was 563 area code, and she's 563. Okay. And Annette, what's your question?
I've been feeling like I've been getting contacted from spirit a lot lately, just last night, and I had asked for some validation, and I saw some things in the paper. I feel like I'm opening up to mediumship, and I'm really not sure what to do and how to utilize my guides. You know, I'm just not sure. I'm really very fuzzy on all this.
Okay.
Well, sure enough, in that your master number is 7, and that is a spiritual number which puts you comfortably in the realm of spirituality, as long as you're connecting to your higher self. So your attempt to work in the spiritual realm and seek the spirit contact, which is probably trying to get messages across to you, mm-hmm. in some form that may have to be, you know, more finely actualized in terms of a narration or a content of language, is more than likely valid. And your journey to go into the spiritual realm, again, is equatable to your master number being 7, which is the 7th chakra, which is more or less our spiritual crown chakra. You did have a change of life that might help us to define your journey around the age of 34, which would have put you in at 1997. Was there a change then? Was there any movement on the earth? You move from one place to another, a change in a relationship, an educational process, a job change?
Nothing that I remember significantly. I may have first contemplated going back to school at that age, but I didn't actually do that for a few more years after that.
Well, you know, the attitude about the school, and I know I grouped it into a list of topics, but I felt a school energy around you, honest, I did. And mm-hmm. so in going back to school, was anybody in your family ever interested in psychology or the humanities?
I was.
Oh, did you go to be a psychologist or in psychology? Is that what you want to do?
No, when I first went to school, when I was, 18, 19 years old, I thought about it then. But since then, I've become a teacher, actually.
Well, we're in the humanities. We're in that process. And the fact that around 18, which is rather significant, you were branching into that. So you're going back to school and being concerned with more esoteric elements, more literal elements of scholarly work would be appropriate. So, and you became a teacher. Now, in terms of your teaching, did you ever teach people around the age of 14 to 16, or was this younger or older?
Younger.
Younger. So you taught mm-hmm. grade school?
Yes.
Okay. And specifically what age? Was it 7 or 8, third, fourth grade? What was your age?
It's always been a mix of from grades 1 through 5.
Okay, so it's 1 through 5. So we're basically looking at anywhere from 5 to 9, 10 years old, something like that.
Right.
And so you were, you know, in that regard, you're an overall teacher because you're teaching them arithmetic, English, music, geography, you do school projects, science,
mm-hmm.
you're involved in all of those things, and you're basically dealing with young children, young souls, so it puts you in a high capacity of being a teachers are held in high esteem upstairs. And so you go into that zone of energy. Also, you're born in the 5th month, which puts you aggressively in the female mode, meaning that you're a strong woman. And devoid of stereotyping, which I don't prefer to do at all, a woman that becomes a teacher, they got, you know, that's guts, that's energy. That's saying I'm more than just staying at home. I'm going to go into the educational field. I've got to be forceful. I've got to have some sense of assertion, being assertive and all that kind of thing. So you have that energy. Also, Annette, your master number is 7, and your first two numbers add up to 7, simple arithmetic, 5 and 2.
Mm-hmm.
Now that is the, and then it follows through with an 8. So you actually have 5, 2, 8 in your first three numbers, which becomes a 15 or a 6, which brings up the third eye.
Mm-hmm.
So your first three numbers add up to 15 equals 6 in numerology. This brings up the third eye and starts to prepare you for the cosmic language of education. which makes you more into spirit contact work. Following that six, we go into your year, which is equatable to a six. There it is right there again. And then it drops down to a three as you move forward in life, which you're not at that point yet. But you are 52 years old, and that is equatable to your first two numbers of 5-2 of your month and day. Now, because we have that match, that your age is matched with the first two numbers of your birth date, and those two sevens are reflective of your master number, and two sevens become a 14, which is a 5 in numerology, and 5 is the expression energy. You are now learning to express yourself on a spiritual level, not on an earthly level. So now there's a spirit contact going on that has come down to meet with you and combine their energies with you, so to speak, to start to activate your spiritual intelligence. Now that's what's true. That's happening. Now the guidance of that comes in the form of your ascended, your spirit guide. Those around you who are in the human form who can help interpret the spirit guide dialoguing. And that's where you're about to hit right now. In terms of your birth from your life from birth, assuming that you go into cycles of seven, you've actually gone through 7.3 cycles. 7 times 7 is 49, and you're 52 years old. So you've gone through 7.3 cycles. Now, that in and of itself, 7.3 is a 10. Because I'm adding up those numbers, and that's the same as your day. This also means that there could have been a divorce somewhere in your family or a separation somewhere in the family energy. Was there any such divorce or separation within your history, whether you or your parents?
Not myself or my parents, no.
Well, are you married?
Yes.
Okay, so there's some sense of... The reason I said sense of separation, and that is because, I'll tell you why, because the 2-8 is a 10. Now, that 2, that's where there's a little bit of problem. That 2 in your karma is your second chakra. So there's got to be some sense of separation somewhere, some rude sense of separation, something that you went through where there was a harsh separation. I don't want to get into your private psychological or your private life, for the purpose of this radio show. But that would signify that. It could be in the form of there might have been some parental division, maybe the child. Do you have any children?
Yes.
Okay, and are you in good standing with your children?
Yes.
Okay, that's good. And what about your parental, your parents? Are you in good standing with your parents?
I would say that it was a dysfunctional family.
Okay, so it was a dysfunctional family a little bit in that. So there might have been some agenda in there. There might have been a distant father figure. There might have been some problem with mother. It might have been some kind of emotional energy that you went through. And there might have been some branch of religion that got into the zone of that connection, and that might have been a little bit compromising. This can happen sometimes in the sense of confirmation or bar mitzvah or bat mitzvah. There might have been some agenda in that realm that caused some controversy around the age of 13, 14, where that too would start to become equatable to the attitude of verbal division within the attitude of religion. And we're not talking about religion, so to speak. We're also talking about spirituality. So we're talking about something much higher than just pure religion. Were you either confirmed or bat mitzvah?
I was confirmed.
You were confirmed. So you're Catholic.
Yes.
Okay. So now I'm getting a Jewish energy around you. Is there a friend? Is there any tribal connection that you have with Judaism?
I think what you're picking up on is that my grandmother, my father's mother, I don't know if she was ever a Catholic and left the church, but from the time I was growing up, she was a Pentecost. And my father was not baptized till he was in the Army during World War II. So, you know, maybe that was the separation that you saw from them. And then my grandmother also lived in the Hasidic neighborhood. So it was kind of an oddball thing, you know, that my grandmother, she was a Christian, and she lived in a Hasidic Jewish neighborhood.
Yeah, that's where I'm picking up on that strange, well, not strange because we are a kind of an assemblage of cultures, and especially in certain districts, we all live together. But I think on a cosmic level, Annette, there was a Hebrew past life, a Jewish past life, that is somehow got dissolved over time and then crept back in this informal connection that still had some significant historical measurement. So I think that's where that's coming from. Now, I can tell you this, Nanette, I really believe in my heart that you are meant to do this work, that you're meant to have some kind of spiritual journey, and this will help move you into a higher form of knowledge. And then ultimately, maybe around the age of 58, I see a book that you'll publish in some form that will amount to part of your designated legacy on the planet before you leave the planet. Have you ever thought about writing a book?
Yes, I have several that I've started, and I just started a new one yesterday that I really felt good about writing.
Yeah. So, you see, now we're starting quickly up because it's a radio reading. We're starting to start to together. You're a stranger to me. Maybe you're not, but at least on one level you are. And so we're starting to elevate this dialogue to a content where we can discuss in formal terms what your journey is supposed to be about as you ascend to a higher intelligence and a higher form of knowledge and get more direction to this statement, I don't know where I'm really supposed to be at this point, but I got a feeling I'm supposed to be doing something. So now we're starting to define in more acute terms in that what this journey is going to do and how it's going to take place. So the book is the right thing, your teaching is the right thing, we're starting to open up some interesting topics, and that's just the tip of the iceberg.
Okay, Annette, well, we had a little extra time today, so I'm glad you were able to take advantage of that. So thank you so much for your call. We really appreciate it.
Thank you both. Thank you both so very, very much. I really appreciate it. Blessings.
You're welcome. You're welcome. Blessings to you. 562-596-7818. And Annette told us that we are quiet. She's hearing us quiet. We've got to have a better speaker system. Microphone system on the show. She's saying we're not coming through loudly. There's a speaker problem. So I'm going to actually ask this other caller if they're having a problem hearing us. 916, good morning.
Hi.
Hi, who's this?
This is Diana.
I'm in Florida. Diana. Okay, hi, how are you?
I'm okay, how are you?
Good. 31-4, am I right? What's your birth date?
1954, May 7th.
Yeah, what's May 7th? 5, 7, 12, 22, 9, 31, 4. She's a 31, 4.
Good for you.
Yeah. Diane, are you having a hard time hearing us?
I can hear you, but the phone's up to my ear now. On the computer, I was having a hard time.
Yeah, that's... Okay, yeah, we need to look into something because they're saying that on the computer they're having a hard time hearing us.
Blog Talk Radio, the other shows were hard to hear today. I just got out of the library. It's actually the radio play.
Huh. Well, I'm going to have to go review our archives and see if there's a consistent problem. But anyway, enough of that. What's going on, Diana? We haven't talked to you in a long time.
Yeah, well, I've been living with my daughter. She's gotten better, well enough to go live with her father. Her house is going into foreclosure, so I was just wondering if he sees anything for me. Is there going to be any kind of, like, barter exchange situation, or will I just be living in a van?
Oh boy.
What did she say?
She's wondering if there's going to be any changes for her, or if she's going to be just living in a van.
Living in a van by the river.
Yeah, that's Saturday Night Live. Chris Farley.
Yeah, Chris Farley's coming. Your energy, Diana, you're 61 years old. You had a karma at 31. That means in 1985, you had a change. What happened in 1985?
Yeah, well, that was when I got divorced, yeah.
Yeah. Well, you had a change then, so you got divorced then. So we're dealing with a kind of a rude awakening at the time that your karma transfers over to transcendence. You release yourself from a karma situation, but it involves a child. So you have a child energy going on, and you're born in 1954, which is actually a 10 or a 1, which brings us back to Earth karma, and that's why you're living in a van and you're worried, because the first chakra is about the Earth. So you've got that zone going on, but what I'm impressed with is that the last number in your birth date is a 4, which is equal to your master number, which is 4, which means it would be trying to divine how to get you up to a sense of balance. So the answer to your question is, by destiny state alone, you're not meant to be in a van. You're in a van because karma's trailing you, and it hasn't let go yet. So
karma hasn't let go, huh?
No, it hasn't.
Well, I'm ready to meet a soulmate. I've done my spiritual work. I'm ready to publish my books, meet a soulmate, the whole thing. I just need that energy to get me in that direction now.
Well, okay. Here's what I would say then.
A little tongue-tied.
No, I was writing something.
Oh.
What I would say, you've got to, there seems to be something caught in the chakra number 5 that's blocking the soulmate from coming in. So, it's figuratively speaking, it's like a hairball for a cat. Mm-hmm. That's in a figuratively speaking way of phrasing it. There's something in the 5th chakra. So your voice sounds very strong. You've written a book. You seem to have done your spiritual work. And in that regard, I think all that sounds great, but yet there's something trailing your energy, in the vocal energy. What is your problem with your ex-husband? Is there anything dialoguing between the two of you that could present a problem that hasn't been, that has lack of closure?
Well, we don't talk. He's an alcoholic, and he didn't quit. He's still drinking, and my daughter's living there. And just from what she can tell, he just never thought the children should have been taken to live in another state. You know, but it's kind of late. She's 40 years old, you know, to be playing that. He's playing the "you did me wrong, you left me," crying in the beer. That thing.
And Diana, have you yourself, in the last 10 years, have you ever been in the hospital?
In the hospital? I worked in a hospital for 32 years. I was a nurse.
Okay. I didn't know that, and I saw you in the hospital. So
I was bit by a dog this year, and I was in the emergency room because I was bit multiple times by a dog, but that's it.
Well, that's part of the visionary energy that I'm picking up on. Number one, I saw you in a hospital, which amounts to you having worked in the hospital for 32 years, which is just 1 year over your 31 years of karma. And then the fact that you got bit by a dog and were temporarily in the hospital due to that altercation is another aspect of what I'm picking up on. So now that I'm in that element and got validation regarding the theme of hospitals, I think what I'm getting to is I'm slowly working my way towards the block that would keep the soulmate from otherwise coming in. So I'm finding some path upon which I'm getting validation that will lead to a clear whereby. It sounds like you're doing road work. I don't know. I don't know what that noise is. Are you doing anything? Hello?
Right now, I just heard you quit talking, so I don't know what you said. But I am driving right now.
Oh, you're driving. It sounds like you're building a house.
Yeah. I'm about to stop. I don't know if that's interfering with the phone connection or not. But my battery was fully charged, so I figured it could handle the heat.
Driving, it picks up sounds of the wind coming in the window, and it sounds like you're hammering and building a house. So that's
well, maybe I am building a house in another dimension somewhere else.
Down that way.
Well,
so.
Don't let it be a house of thieves.
But she can listen to the archives.
She can listen to the archives. Well, I think what we're getting, Diana, is we're getting enough validation in the reading to signify how maybe to release this called block that would thereby having released it would lead you to having to meeting your soulmate, because I do believe you're going to be meeting a soulmate, if you want to call it that. And my validations, again, include the nurse, where you've been a nurse for 32 years, and the fact that you were in the hospital due to a dog bite, and that there is some problematic stuff going on with your ex being an alcoholic. So those are just validations. But that leads me to understand that there is a clearance awaiting you that would, after having that clearance be established, you'd meet your soulmate. And that can happen probably when you are 62 years old. So I think you're going to be meeting your soulmate at the age of 62. That is 31 twice.
Oh, okay. I figured that's the year, you know, I'll have more money coming in because of being old enough to have a Social Security check. My pension is only $40 a month. So, I definitely knew things would get a little bit better when I'm 62, but I didn't know that's why I would be waiting for a soulmate at 62 also. But I understand what you're saying. 31.
Thank you. Yeah, 62. Work towards, you know, take my words in earnest and work towards your consciousness towards that goal, and 62 mm-hmm. is going to be a brilliant, wonderful year for you.
Well, that's what I'm creating. But I thought it was going to be earlier. So I will call you guys back.
Yes,
you know.
Thank you so much for connecting with us again, Diana.
Yeah, I finally got you on.
Exactly.
I kept going the wrong time. You know, I used to call you from California, and then because I changed time by 3 hours, I was looking for you at the wrong time. You didn't change it, but I did.
I think you get our invites. I think you're on our invite list, but, of course, you're always welcome on the show. Okay, thank you so much.
I have to go to the library for a computer. I don't have a computer, so I
go
to the library. Thank you, and I'll talk to you again.
Okay, talk to you soon. Bye-bye. 562-596-7818. Okay, we've got a private caller who I'm going to try to bring on again. Are you there? Caller, are you there? They're not there. They may just be listening and not wanting to speak out, but we do have a caller from 678. This is Sue, right?
Yes, it is, but I was just listening.
Oh, you're just listening.
Guys.
Okay. Well, then we'll keep talking.
We can keep talking, yeah.
Okay. You know, people aren't raising their hands, so it's possible that people are just listening via the phone rather than the internet today, Neil.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so back to spirit guides. So, you know, what I was wondering, Neil, is how a spirit guide is chosen for a specific individual. So what?
Well, there are many, numerous ways. One of which is very creative and exciting is that when you're in the astral realm, you meet up with certain teachers and masters and you're assigned, you're not, you kind of choose each other. You, it's like you're going around and you're choosing each other. Now we're talking about this language is in our English language.
Right,
but
so it's a vibration.
Yeah.
It's poorly translated by human language, obviously.
You know, I mean, we're talking about choosing each other on an astral plane, not an earthly plane. And we're talking about dialoguing or conversing on an energy level, not a human tongue level.
So if that spirit guide is chosen based on their soul's content, I'm assuming, and the
mm-hmm.
content of their spirit, because
mm-hmm.
they're in this, or soul realm, right?
Mm-hmm.
Soul realm or spirit realm? I mean,
soul and the spirit are connected, but the spirit is its own entity in and of itself.
And so
the soul is still connected to the body.
Right, so the spirit guides are working on the soul realm, not the spirit realm, the
mm-hmm.
highest realm, because
they're still interacting
with the human level.
Spirit, soul to body,
right.
And we're basically in a soul-body energy and not activating our full spirit yet.
So the basis is the content of that spirit guide soul, which involves not only its soul level, spirit level, but also what their journey was on a planetary level, I'm assuming.
Yeah, because we're dealing with the energy. We're not dealing with personality. You're not saying, oh, you like movies? I like movies. You know, I'll see your guide down there. We're dealing with energy.
Well, and obviously the personality does not stay the same throughout incarnation.
No.
So, I mean, if we're basing on a personality level, I mean, it would be such a shallow level of connection. I mean, how is that even possible?
Because every time we're on the planet, we increase our soul-spirit content. So when we get up there, the masters and the teachers and the guides meet us, and it's just the natural flow of energy. The flow of the master and the teacher and the guide combines their energy likewise with a human being who's starting to feel their energy devoid of the body. So that when they come back into the body to further their spiritual and soul awareness, they've got a good guide along the way to help them achieve that goal in spite of the fact that they've got a lot of bodily stuff to work through.
Mm-hmm.
And bodily stuff has to do with, you know, being in the earth, our families, our jobs, our careers, our marriages, our relationships. These are all very important on an earthly level, no doubt. But on a spiritual soul level, well, the importance is now turned inside out. Now it becomes a spirit soul journey, not an earth journey. And that's what a guide will help us do, is to try to work our way towards that ultimate realm while we're on the earth. And so that assignment is kind of an energy combination. It's not like they saw a twinkle in your eye and they liked you because of the way you smiled. It's an energy form as to the content of your soul and spirit at the time that you were in the astral realm. And then typically you continue with a permanent guide, but you have wonderfully assorted guides that help out as any tribal energy will tell you on the earth. You have people on the earth that help you aside from your major teachers, and then you have a specific spirit guide that assists you aside from assorted guides and spirits.
Okay, so another question regarding guardian angels, because those of us who are brought up like Catholics, for instance, there's the phenomenon of the guardian angel and the prayer to the guardian angel, that the spirit guide is not the guardian angel. Do guardian angels, I mean, do people have guardian angels assigned to them, just as there are spirit guides that were once on the earth plane assigned to them?
Well,
or is that something you don't
assigned? No, it's not an assignment, and that takes away from the miraculous love. An angel can be assigned to do work on the planet, and an angel can be assigned to interact with human beings.
But an angel is generally not assigned to a human.
Not assigned. It's not like a checklist where, hey Harry, you got to go with Sue over there. It's not an assignment in that regard, because angels are composed of love, and so it's not an assignment. Now, When we get into the element of assignment, though, I mean, even Christ was assigned to do something on the planet. So there are assignments. I don't want to get away from the fact that there are assignments that angels perform. And so that is true. But when we're talking about a guardian spirit, a lot of guardian spirits, they have an assignment with the earth at large. And guardian spirits will bind themselves to certain human beings out of the element of energy. And that's where the blessing occurs. So out of any time, out of any sequence of events, a guardian angel can come in and help guide us. There's that wonderful kind of trite but stereotypical painting of an angel helping two kids cross a bridge. And it's a painting that a lot of people like to put up on their wall. Well, were they assigned that, you know, in that little painting, were they assigned that angel? No, angels coexist amongst us, and they love human beings. You know, it's the demons and Lucifer's crowd that doesn't like human beings. They're envious of human beings because God mounted a human being as his sole sacred creation, and Satan and his team didn't like it. So they wouldn't bow down to what God had created. But the angelic forms that come from God's breath and God's creation, they embrace everything God does. So they embrace human beings as though they were in God's wings, so to speak. And those are what are called the guardian angels that help us out of the love of God's creation of humankind.
All right, Neil. Well, very enlightening. Today was nice because we had some callers, but we had a little more time to discuss, which people have been requesting more conversation and instruction. So I'm hoping everybody benefited from that today, and actually we're out of time.
Well, okay, another hour. Gone through now?
Oh, that's right. We had the count on Blog Talk Radio is off. Because we have some re-aired episodes. So I think the count right now is maybe 307 or 306 episodes. But actually, we did our 300th episode on Monday. 300 episodes.
300 hours, yeah.
And what was it, 12 and a half days it would take you to go through that?
12 and a half days.
Straight.
Through it continuously. And I'm sure there's a long list of people waiting to see 12 hours.
I'm sure people are actually we're on 306 today.
We're
so it'll be 307 Monday, but it's really 302 on Monday because we've had some repeated episodes.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
I've re-aired some episodes. 300. We hit actually 300 last Monday.
Right. So we challenge our listeners out there to listen nonstop for those 12 and a half days. No sleep.
Yeah.
No food, no water, just the Neil Baker Psychic Hour, a steady diet. And you'll get a prize, transcendence.
Yeah.
Okay, we're back on air on Monday for episode 302. Thanks, everybody, for